Please be seated. If you have your Bibles with you, I would ask you to turn to the third chapter of Ephesians. In the Pew Bible, it's page 1335, if you didn't happen to bring your Bible with you this morning. Third chapter of Ephesians. I've been, for the last 2 weeks, doing a series on the book of Ephesians, and if you've missed chapters 1 or 2, the tapes are available after the service is over. In fact, the tape of this will be available after the service is over. Many of you know that my son Isaiah, I don't see him here yet, is going in the hospital tomorrow for tests, an extended EEG, electroencephalogram, and videotaping of him while he's undergoing that EEG to try to determine the root cause of his seizures and see whether medication or other things can be used to help control them. This has been a source of both stress and strain and also blessing to us in the family. It's been blessing because so many people have been praying with Isaiah and for Isaiah. So many people have come over and actually laid hands on him and prayed with him. And this is the first time Isaiah has experienced something like this. And he relishes it. I just can't begin to tell you how much joy he gets and expresses after people have come over and prayed with him. And one of the things that has changed in him, which he's never done before, is he told me a few nights ago, after he was talking about all of the people coming and praying for him, and he asks me to pray for him every night to lay hands on his head and pray for him. He told me that he has begun to pray for himself. He's never done that in his life. He's prayed, God bless Mom and Dad and George and the dog, and his prayers have been like that at night. But now he is on his own, not even in my presence and not with my prompting, praying. And this is really remarkable thing and a real blessing to me. I see George, so Isaiah's got to be around somewhere. At the same time, and this has also had some effect on his seizures, they look like they have decreased. Although it's hard to know because you're not with him all the time, so you can't count all of them. But it does look like they have decreased. And Isaiah has said as much himself. It's also, nevertheless, a time when those of you who are parents know, or just if you love somebody who is suffering with something, you know. It's a time when, regardless of your faith in God, regardless of your faith in a good doctor, which I think is appropriate, you still worry. As a parent, you still worry, and you lose sleep. And last night for me, as we're getting closer to tomorrow, last night was a particularly difficult night. I woke up again and again and again. And when I wasn't awake, I was having stupid dreams about hospitals and you know how it goes. We'll come back to that as I get on in this sermon because Ephesians 3 really speaks to much of this. I want to just go over the beginning part of this briefly, Ephesians 3, 1. Paul is in prison, and he's in prison because he's been preaching the gospel. But if you look at what he says about being in prison, he says it's a privilege, it's an honor to be there, and that the people in Ephesus who are worried about him ought not be worried, that it doesn't bother him that he has been imprisoned because he's been in prison for what he does, for preaching the gospel. Now then he goes on to tell these Ephesians who are largely Gentiles, they are largely not Jews, that God has revealed to him, Paul, his secret plan that he had not revealed for many generations, but he's revealed it now. And the secret plan is this, is verse 6, the Gentiles have an equal share with the Jews in all of the riches inherited by God's children. He says both groups have believed the good news and are part of the same body and enjoy together the promise of blessings through Christ Jesus. Now, the first thing it's important to understand here is what Paul is preaching about the Gentiles and the Jews actually goes back to the time of Abraham. Abraham was told that the whole world, all races, all peoples, would be blessed through his seed. But God began with the Jews. It's like he took them as a special people and said, I have to start somewhere. Here's where I start. I'm taking this people as my own, and through them, I will bless all people. Gentile, Jew, doesn't matter. Gentile simply means those who are not born Jews. It includes most of us. And so Paul is saying here that the Gentiles inherit, they are co-inheritors with the Jews of God's blessings. And those blessings come through Jesus Christ. And then he just celebrates the special blessing that he, Paul, has in being able to share this with the Gentiles and having been given this ministry. That's how this chapter begins. Now, I want to look at the focus of what I want to talk about this morning, and this is verse 12. If you look at Ephesians verse 12, the translation that I've got here is the New Living Translation. The Pew Bible is the New Revised Standard. If you brought your own, it might be something else. But the message is the same. Paul says this, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome. Now stop and think about what he's just said here. First of all, this come fearlessly into God's presence, in the Greek this refers especially to a freedom of speech. It covers more things than that, but it refers especially to a freedom of speech. And so what Paul is saying is because of Christ and because of our faith in him, we can come into the presence of God and speak without fear. And know that as we come into his presence, that he is kindly disposed toward us. Now think about how the world has thought about God or gods for most of the world's history. These were the threatening, powerful, abusive, oppressive things that you needed to propitiate, big word. You needed to make offerings to them in order to get them not to hurt you. If you look at most religions, well, in addition to all of the things that you are taught about why you must be good, you are given this frightening vision of the God who will basically crush you out if you do the slightest thing to annoy him. And so when people would come before their idols or before the volcano to worship, to bring offerings there, when they would sacrifice their children by tossing them into the volcano, when they would sacrifice their children to Molech, any of those gods, they did it in order to abet the anger, not to abet, but to push back the anger, to stop the anger and to stop the punishment. And what's Paul saying? He says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome, that he's favorably disposed toward us. We don't come in fear. We can walk in with great courage. We can walk in with joy. We can come into the presence of God knowing that he is going to welcome us with open and glad arms. And we can speak fearlessly to him. We can speak fearlessly to him. Now, I told you about last night. I haven't told my wife about this because I left home before I had the chance to do that. Well, she was still in bed to come to the early service. Last night, I was talking about this when I started, dear. Last night was the pits for me. thinking about the hospital tomorrow, and I was having all these stupid dreams about hospital and seizures, and I woke up like 5 times, and every time I woke up, I fretted and worried, until I woke up at 4 a.m. And then when I woke up at 4 a.m., the Lord reminded me of this verse from Ephesians, which is, you can come fearlessly before your Father, knowing that you will be welcomed with joy, knowing that you will be gladly welcomed, and you can speak what's on your heart fearlessly. And as I was reminded of that verse, I immediately said, all right, I get this. I understand. Father, heal my son and give him joy. And then another prayer came, and that was, for both of my children, there are only two things that I really desire for their lives. One is that they know God, and the other is that they have joy. I don't care what they do. I don't care if they're writers or janitors or missionaries or astronauts. Don't care. If they know God and they have joy, as a dad, my heart is full as it can be. It's as full as it can be. So I prayed that prayer this morning, fearlessly, knowing that I was joyfully before a Father who loved me and who gladly welcomed me into his presence. And it changed everything, changed my mood, lifted all of the weight and the burden that I'd had. Even George Peters this morning, when he walked in and saw me, he says, boy, you look really good. You got some color back in your cheeks. And he's right. And it's because of that moment that I had with the Lord this morning. 1 John 5:14 says this, and we can be confident that he will listen to us whenever we ask him for anything in line with his will. And the sense of this is that we are free. There is a joyful mood, a free and joyful mood for those who are reconciled to God. We don't come frightened. We come joyful, knowing that we're reconciled to him. Then down in verse 16 of Ephesians 3, Paul says this, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. For each of us who feels weak and in fear and frightened or beset by grief or trouble or calamity in our life, he promises that from his unlimited resources, not a little bit that he'll give us, his unlimited resources, that he will pour that mighty power into us by his Holy Spirit. We have only to go before him fearlessly and ask. Only to go before him fearlessly and ask. And then he says in verse 17, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. Now there's a logical statement being made here, that he will be more and more in your hearts as you trust in him. Or to put it syllogistically, trust in him. And the more and more you trust in him, the more and more he will be at home in your heart. Give him your trust, and he will come and take up residence more and more fully as you trust more and more fully. And then he makes this prayer, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. In order that you might know him more fully, you put your roots down deep. And the more roots you have and the deeper they go, the more nutrient you draw out. It's the same thing. The more you trust, the more he's at home. The deeper you sink your roots into who he is, the more of him comes up to fill you. And may you have the power to understand, verse 18, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. And then verse 19. In fact, verse 18 is often quoted. That's one of those memory verses that we often get about the height and the width and the depth of the love of Christ. We learn that memory verse. But what we often miss is the very next verse, verse 19. May you experience the love of Christ. In other words, not just head knowledge. Yes, I've read it here in the book. It says he loves us. And I've agreed intellectually to this concept that God is love and that Christ came to show us the love of God. Paul's prayer is this: may you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. This is a conclusion. Then. It's like a therefore. Or then what follows is this. And actually, the Greek says, then you will be filled with the fullness of God. This is an almost blasphemous statement. If you didn't understand what Paul was on about, his prayer and his statement that if we do this, we will be filled with the fullness of God. God comes and fills us up if we will let him. He fills us up with himself. Now, glory be to God, by his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. What's being spoken of here are the changes to the inner person, to the soul, to who I really am, not to the mask that I put on for friends and neighbors and co-workers and acquaintances, not the false smile and everything is okay, things are fine, don't let on that there might be trouble of some sort or another, but to the real inner person, the genuine who I am. This is talking about how that real person is changed. If we experience the love of Christ, we have to be willing to experience the love of Christ. Even though it's so great, we'll never understand it. Then we will be filled with the fullness of God. Psalm 81:10 says this, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. Anybody have kids? You know how kids are when you have some new food you want them to try? Now, I have two children. One of them, when we've got a new food and we want them to try it, it's, feed me! I want to try it. Oh, it's great! Give me more! And the other one, here's a new food we want you to try. Lips are shut tight. And we say, come on, it's really good. Give it a shot. Just try it once. Little bit of the tongue comes out from between the lips and will touch just the very end of the spoon. Okay? And if it's not too terrible, then maybe a little bit more and a little bit more. And then finally, maybe, possibly, the food will be really tasted. Aren't we like that as Christians? Right? God says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it with good things. And we go, just stick out a little bit of the tongue between the lips for fear that he might not really be giving us good things, even though he promised it. We're afraid to open our mouths wide. And yet, this is what he's asking us to do, to open our mouths wide so he can fill us. What it says here in Psalm 81 is the same thing Paul is saying in Ephesians. It's the same thing you read throughout Scripture. God wants to come by his Spirit and live in us. He wants to take up residence in our home, make our hearts his home. He wants to sink our roots down deep into him. He wants a full experience of himself to be experienced by us. He wants to come in power and might and fill us up. But we have to be willing. We have to say, yes, come. We can't say, yes, come and fill me, and keep our mouths shut. We have to open them wide and let him fill us with good things. Verse 20 again, now glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or to hope. The Christian life begins. It begins with the acceptance of the free gift of God, of salvation, paid for by the sacrifice of Jesus. That's where the Christian life starts. That's the door that opens into the life. It is the beginning. It is not the end. Although eternal life is assured by that, it is not the end of the Christian life and the Christian experience. Paul says, experience the love of Christ. And what's intended for us, what we call with the giant word sanctification, is that in our life we will learn more and more to allow the presence of God to be deeply in us. We will allow him to do the work he's got to do to root out all of those little secret things that we've kept buried and never wanted to admit to that fester and hurt us. He wants to come in and clean out the wounds and heal them. He wants to come in and be more and more present in us so that we can be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. We can be more and more like him in the way we love those around us and in the way we experience the presence of the Father and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants for us. But he will not violate the free will that he's given us. He will not run roughshod over it. When we've said yes to him, he's promised us salvation is ours and it's a done deal. And he knows that we'll fall and we'll sin, but it's a done deal. But what he wants, once we've said yes, is for us to experience the blessing of his presence more and more fully. And for that to happen, we have to say yes. We have to open our mouths wide. We have to say, come, Holy Spirit, do what you need to do. Whatever it is, come and live in me that I might be made perfect, that I might be completed in Christ. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it with good things. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You will be filled with the fullness of God. That's the promise made to every last one of us. If we just say yes, Lord, my mouth is open wide. Come and fill it with good things. Amen.